for those that were able to go to New York City on this journey that Yahweh called this ministry to. What an honor, what a privilege to be able to go, those that were able. And what an honor and a privilege it was for us who stayed behind to keep the cover. Amen. To hold them up. And I can tell you the enemy didn't like either one of us going or those staying. I can tell you that right now. But you know what? He don't get to vote. Hallelujah. Creep. Thank you, Yahweh. Somebody say amen, brother.
Thank you, Joe. We'll say this. It is about faithfulness, and it's not about feeling. Josh in the psalm said that the faithful of the Lamb will dwell with him. And this is what I believe GTZ has been this past, since we've got this call about a call of repentance, is being faithful to what the Father has shown us. That's what we're doing. And the group that went were faithful to this. So proud of them. Wherever they went, they left a sweet savor. Okay? It was a sweet, sweet savor everywhere they went. And it was amazing how New York was different than what we thought. And I do want to give a chance for several to come and share. We did have a scribe on the trip with us. LaDonna has penned several notes, and she has one next pinning to the editors at this point, and they will be getting out. So there's more information coming about the different ones and different things that were said. But we do want to give us time for to voice the ones that went. And what I'm going to do is I got some names here. I'm going to call them out. And if you would like to share, please get up and do so. And then if not, we'll just keep on passing. We don't want to, you know, who's going, everybody looking about. I got names, and I'll just call them out. And if you'd like to share, please come and do that. And we'll just move through the sharing time with everybody and give everybody opportunity, okay? We got most everybody here except Dixie is not here. And then Chris Rescott, his wife and his son, was able to come. And, of course, Chris back, you know, moved back to Virginia. But still, 17 total. So, with Teresa, would you want to start off? Okay. Teresa, then next, Katie. And then after Katie, Claudia.
I really don't have a whole lot to say, but I'll just tell you that the main thing that I observed when we went was the absolute shalom. There was not one day when I felt unsafe, and there was not one day that I wasn't assured that the Father had gone with us, before us, He surrounded us, and I know that was due in large part to all the intercessors, so we thank you for that, but He also, every day, He left, He showed that He was with us through all kinds of signs. We didn't even get out of the car in Washington until we saw that bumper sticker. And it was like the Father telling us, you know, I'm proud of you and you've been faithful. So that was the greatest thing I noticed, that He was with us and He put His seal of approval. And He showed us that every day, that we were doing the right thing and that he had ordained this. And that's all.
Thank you. For you that didn't see that, the bumper sticker in Washington, when they stopped there in front of the Capitol.
Right.
White House. Parallel part in front of the White House. And a bumper sticker said, "A proud parent of Glen Forest Elementary School."
Honor student.
In Washington.
Papa was letting us know he was proud of us. So.
Thank you.
How many cars are there in Washington that you would park behind?
Yeah, I mean.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
I know.
Where's Katie? Okay. Claudia is going to pass, and then Barry, you want to come down from the Shmaim?
Mom. Hi, Pumpkin. You want to come up here? Only thing I really want to share is, well, like Teresa said, there was a lot of peace that I did not expect. I was really surprised at how nice the New Yorkers were. That was just, and I don't know if it was just because the Father really wanted us to have his heart in this and just realize that there are some great people there and that he really wants to stretch out his hand. And when we were coming off of the, we were coming off of Ellis Island, and we all finally got to sit inside the boat, which was nice and warm in there. And I decided to go sit on the, I don't know what you call the back end of the boat, but I decided to go sit back there and just really take in everything, because I didn't so much get to see a lot on the way in because it was so crowded. So I went and sat in the back of the boat, and Trish went and sat with me too. And when we were sitting there, I was facing the Statue of Liberty and coming back, and Father just put on my heart to really read the scriptures openly and out into the air. And this was the one, and I just happened to come upon this one. He kept me in Isaiah. All this past week, I was all about Isaiah. And Isaiah 61, and I'm just going to read, the part of this. I'm not going to read it all, but it goes into Isaiah 62 where he talks about going through the gates and clear the way for the people. So I read all of 61 and all of 62. But what stuck out to me was when I started reading 61, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God." Well, I'm staring at the Statue of Liberty, proclaiming liberty and that he would set the captives free, and that was just unbelievable. Well, I said to Jan and Craig later that night, we were all sitting around talking, I said, "Do y'all feel like we've accomplished what we were supposed to accomplish? Here I am going on my feelings," and Jan, of course, is like, "Absolutely." And I just like to have confirmation. Well, hands down, the best part of the trip was it Tuesday night at David Wilkerson's church? And it was, as Jan would say, it was a seal on the trip. You know, Yahweh sealed the trip with this, with praise and worship and an awesome message. Well, don't you know the guy quotes this scripture, Isaiah 61, and I was like, "Hallelujah, there's my confirmation." So, there you go.
Amen. Okay, Barry. After Barry, Karen.
Well, as y'all know that I took my car and four other brothers and sisters rode with me, and what a pleasure that was getting to know them better. I never knew Caleb could talk so much. But he's a wonderful young man. I've come to love him. When we got to Washington, there was a chill in the air that was more than the weather. There was a haze. There was a grayness in the air that was more than the clouds. There was a feeling of hopelessness, I guess would be a good word, that just blanketed the whole place. And it was more than weather, and it was much more than physical. And I don't know that if a normal tourist that had been walking toward the White House that morning would have felt the same thing we did, because what we felt was in our souls, you know, in our spirits. We, without talking about it, all felt the same thing that was confirmed to each other after we got back in the car, and Miss Tom Tom started telling us how to get out of Washington. And we all went there and stood there in front of the White House. And we honestly did try to pray for the office of the president, for the man who holds that office right now, and for whoever may come after him to hold that office. But it was very, very hard to do. It was almost like we were being told, the die has been cast, my mind is made up, and my punishment will be carried out. I mean, I hate to sound like that I'm standing up here and saying there's no hope, but that's the feeling we all got, and it's not something that we wanted to feel by any means. Okay, so we left there, and it seemed like we just couldn't get out of that town fast enough. You know, we rode by the Capitol building, and did we ride around the block at the Capitol, or did we just keep on going? I don't remember. But it was, and we tried to do the same thing there, but we did not get out of the car. We just rode around the Capitol building. And we did our best to pray for the inhabitants of that building, the inhabitants, the office holders in that town. But like I said, it was very hard to do. So then we get on the road again and drive up through Pennsylvania, up through the Pocono Mountains. And that was a beautiful drive. It really was. One thing I was struck by as we rode by all those mountains were there were no peaks. They were all just flat-top mountains. And that's from strip mining, where they go in and just tear the tops off of the mountains and dig down in there and get the coal out and then put a little dirt back on top and make all the mountains look exactly alike. So I thought that was, I don't know, in some way that touched me. It showed me how greedy we are, that we'll go in and cut the top off of God's mountains and dig the goodies out and then and make them all look alike. I mean, that's just something that I could not come to grips with. That's just sacrilege, in my opinion. But so we get on to New York, and from that point on, I'll have to admit the trip was not at all what I had expected it to be. We drove into Lower Manhattan, and of course, Katie mentioned the people were so nice. Well, yeah, we were in the richest part of New York City. We were right there in the middle of the stockbrokers and the bankers. So it's not like we were dealing with your average citizens of New York. We were in the midst of the upper crust, I suppose. But one thing that struck me, I was feeling impressed by the fact that sitting in our hotel, two blocks in that direction, was the scene of the of where the Twin Towers fell down in 2001, and so I was particularly moved by that. I mean, I realized the significance of that event and everything. But I happened to notice that every time I'd walk out the front door of our hotel, there was this brown building right across the street. And I didn't really think a whole lot about what that building was, except I did notice that it had these big, huge iron bars on the windows on first and second floor. I thought, that must be some kind of real important building. So we were walking by it one day, and I happened to notice on the side it said Federal Reserve Bank of New York. And so that kind of piqued my interest, thinking, okay, I've done a lot of reading about the Federal Reserve, and I know how much, you know, they are the controller of the world's money supply, just about. You know, they set, I believe they set interest rates and so forth. And so I was thinking, okay, so is this just an office building of the Federal Reserve Bank, or is this actually, do they actually have stuff in there, you know? So I went and pulled it up on the internet and went to the Wikipedia page about it and was impressed to find out that the way it read in Wikipedia was 50 feet below ground level, sitting on solid Manhattan bedrock, is a vault that contains 10%, over 10% of the world's gold. And I'm thinking, okay, so two blocks this way, two giant buildings collapsed. And right in front of me right here, there's another building. And if the Father wants to make that building collapse on top of 10% of the world's gold, he can certainly do that. And so I'm thinking, judgment back here and judgment here. So so I got home, and let's see, what day did we get home? Thursday.
Thursday morning.
Early Thursday morning, 2:30 in the morning. And so I get up on Thursday and go sit out on the porch to do my normal meditation that I do every day. And I wouldn't say that I had a vision. That may be too strong a word to say that it was actually a vision from God, but occasionally I will sit and think about something and just let my imagination flow, right? It was almost like I'm almost writing a story or making a movie in here. And I'm sitting there, and that began to take place. And what happened in my imagination was that we were in our hotel. All of us that went in the group, we were in our hotel. Everyone else but the ones in our group had checked out, so there was nobody left in the hotel but us. And an earthquake comes, and all the big tall buildings that are around us collapse and fall. The only one left standing was the Holiday Inn, Wall Street. We notice that the earthquake's going on and that the buildings are falling, but we're not scared. We're all very confident in our protector and know that he's going to bring us through it. So we all walk downstairs, not out of panic, just to see what damage has been done, just to walk around and look. And we get down there, and all of a sudden, I notice that somehow my car has been delivered from the garage where it was stored to the right in front of the hotel, front doors. And we all go, all 13 of us, was 17. 17 of us, go and get in my car. We get in my car. And there's a path, the road. There's no debris in the way that we need to get out. Wow. Wow. And, you know, some might be so bold as to say that was a vision. I don't know. It was just, that's what I do with my imagination sometimes. But I do sometimes just sit and let my imagination play these little things out in my head. So that's what it played that morning, and there may be some significance to that, but you know, it is what it is. Okay, thank you.
There's no doubt Father's hand is upon his people, his faithful people. That's what it's about. Karen? And then Joanne?
Okay, I wasn't going to come up here. Is this on? Okay. I wasn't going to come up here because I really didn't have much to say. I've got a lot of things just going around in my mind, but trying to consolidate them is, I don't know, a little crazy. But I have to say we had a wonderful time. Even when we had four in a room, we were blessed. Sukkot has been good training. When you get four women with all their makeup on, a vanity is big. Anyway, we had a wonderful time, but I guess what I came back with, I was in New York, I'm thinking about 5 years ago with my sister and visiting my niece who lives there. And for some reason or other, New Yorkers seem to think if you're not a New Yorker, you really shouldn't be existing. That was the general thinking they have. And, it, you know, I mean, like, that's it. And I remember thinking then that how can anybody even call this a city? I mean, a place to live. I thought it was awful. And going this time kind of reiterated that. It was even, you feel, you see more of the depth of where people are coming from and what they have in their everyday life. You know, aside from David Wilkerson's church, which was wonderful, it was amazing to see this remnant of God in this city. I mean, all you're seeing is people with blank looks on their faces and, you know, living confused lifestyles. And so going there was wonderful, just to know that there is some truth in New York City. But to see all of the idols, the statues on the buildings, and, you know, it's not really called statues when they're on the building, the relief work, whatever it is that's at the gables, all these statues of different gods and Greek gods that people don't even pay attention to. They don't even look up to see them. But obviously these buildings somewhere along the line have been dedicated to some gods. And so it's heartbreaking. And I guess my overall opinion is, I know this country's in a mess and I know we need prayer, but I'm telling you what, I didn't realize how much. We met a number of people that were so wonderful, the ones at the restaurants and at the hotel, wonderful people. And it just breaks your heart to think, what's going to happen to them? You know, it gives you more of a heart to pray.
Thank you, Father.
In the past, when I've just thought of New Yorkers, I just think of them as arrogant and, you know, whatever. Kind of they get what they deserve. They think they're whatever. And boy, being there and witnessing so many people in their hearts, and you see the life they live, and ones that are born there, you just kind of wonder. They weren't brought up with God. And so they're living their lives chasing things. And it just, it shows you how empty. And especially sitting on the subway, going to Wilkerson's church, the faces that have no expression, they don't talk to anybody. It's like, I'm sure when Trish gets up, she'll talk about, she talked to somebody and it blew the guy's mind. I mean, it did. And I'm sure you're going to talk about Dixie's situation. Oh, okay. Anyway, overall, you know, like I said, it was nice, but boy, we need to be in prayer. And for individuals, for cities, for this country, and really take hold of the horns of the altar.
Diana after Joanne, and then LaDonna.
I know I'm going to cry, so I might just be done with it. I'm going to basically echo her heart, you know? When we got into Washington and I saw all the statues in that nasty monument, it was hard for me because it was like Kara said, you realize how bad things are, how much we need to pray. The condition of our country is just unreal. I left there with a seriousness about prayer and understanding about the people. When we got to New York, it was the same thing. They're everywhere, these gods and the way people live their lives. Like the emptiness that you see in their faces. you know, Hollywood, just all these so-called glamorous things. I came home and I had a hard time. I was really ugly. I went between being ugly to being sad. And I realized during worship today what's bothering me. It's the things that I saw, the things that I felt. It's all real. It's not something I see on the internet or I see on TV or I read in the newspaper. It's real. And we really do need to pray. Thank you.
Diana.
Well, New York wasn't what I expected either. I guess I was a little bit like Karen in that I didn't know what to expect. But I knew that it was a call that the Father had put on all of us, and it was serious. Because it all came together so quickly. It cost each one of us more than money to go, but we all felt the call. And I know many of y'all had, the Father called you to stay here and undergird for us, or we probably wouldn't have come back with the success stories that we have. And for that, I'm just very grateful. Karen was talking about the idols. And when I saw the bull on Wall Street, it was like the golden calf. And it was like, you know, just kind of, to me, I guess I felt like it was a slap in the Father's face. And I was grieved by all that. I just, like she was saying, I did not realize how serious our country is in trouble. And I really thought that our foundation, how we started, was good. But the first place we went was to Federal Hall. And there was a man there that told us many things that I didn't know about the beginning. And through all that, I won't go into all that, but through all that, I realized our beginning was not as godly as I thought it was. And it's only been by His grace that any of us are still here. I think each one of us felt time is so running out. It is so running out. And it's like Karen was talking about the people. We really did connect with some people quickly. Bill asked me about the restaurants. He said, oh, y'all went to some restaurants. I said, we went to Soup Man. I had lentil soup. And really and truly, we did not go to any big restaurants. But I think I went to Soup Man's three times, maybe four. But there was a young lady in there, and when we walked in, after we'd gone several times, she just lit up. She was so happy to see us. And it was people like that that touched our hearts. But the man that talked to us at the Federal Hall, well, a few of us wanted to go back by there because there was a couple of things we felt like that we had missed. And we went back by there to talk to him. And he was following us out the door, asking us to pray for a friend of his. Now his friend's dead. But he sincerely wanted us to pray for his friend. So I know that he saw something in us that touched him. And just looking into so many faces, like they were talking about the subway, and it's heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking because there are a lot of good people there. I know that one morning I got up and I was talking to Karen and I said, you know, I look out my window every morning and I don't know if the sun's out there or not because there's so many high buildings. You can't see the sun. She said, isn't it ironic? This is supposed to be the city of lights. and there's no light. And so in all that, it's like there's a deception everywhere. So many have no understanding of what's about to happen, except at David Wilkerson's church. They know. And I'm going to tell you something. They're not going to leave. They're going to be there to help when it happens. And it's not if it's going to happen. It's when it's going to happen, because it's going to happen. They're girding up each other. And I told Bill, the thing that touched me when I walked into that church, I saw a lot of lame people. I saw a lot of homeless-looking people. I saw a lot of people that, you know, you just probably wouldn't have paid any attention to, except for this. The Spirit of the Lord was on each one of them. Every one of them. So it's like when praise and worship came, there was an explosion. And none of them are afraid. We talked to several. I know Katie and Trish talked to one of the ladies at the book table, and they have sat under David Wilkerson's ministry so long, and he's warned people for so long, they really do know and understand. So they're doing their part. But I do know that when much is given, much is required. And we have been given something. Very few people have been given. And that's a heads up to what's coming. And what are we going to do with it? We certainly do need to pray more than we've ever prayed before.
Donna?
This is then my Joey. Baby child.
Then Joey and then Caleb.
I said they lost us, didn't they, Miss Jan? We didn't lose them, they lost us. Four of us. I had several things happen to me, and some of, you know, I really think the key is that I feel like we now are messengers for what we learned while we were there. And I think a lot of what our group has shared so far is stuff that they were shown, because that's how they're supposed to pray. And so in saying that, there was just a couple of things that I really felt like I needed to share. When Jan came up to the podium, I guess it's been 3 weeks now when you announced it or so, I was sitting over there by Mom, like always, and the Ruach said, they're going somewhere and you need to go. Well, I've only had my job for 6 months. I don't have any vacation time, but I just sat there and I said, okay, and didn't really say much more than that, and got the information from Jan later on. Anyways, got to work. It all worked out. And but then after it all worked out and I got my plane ticket, I was kind of stopped and was like, well, what do I do now? You know, how do I prepare? And I felt like the first thing I needed to do was at least read the book, read the Harbingers. And that's kind of where I started. But and Abba used that. There were so many things in the Harbinger. Just I mean, I remember getting to some chapters and I just had to read one chapter and had to stop and pray, because the stirring in my spirit was so strong for either things in my life or things that he was showing me as far as our nation goes. And but in also doing that, I was praying the whole time, you know, why do you want me to go on this trip? You know, I don't feel like I'm good enough to go. I don't feel like I know anything. And anyways, it was the last chapters of the book, I think 20 and 21 or 21 and 22. I can't remember how many chapters are in the book. And those chapters, I sat there and cried, and I'm sitting there thinking, you're crying while you're reading the book. But anyways, it was in those chapters that Abba showed me why I was to go. And but I kept it to myself. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell Mom. And well, it was Sunday night, and Jan says, Lenata, you're going to be our scribe. And that's one of the reasons why I knew that Abba wanted me to go. So, you know, it you know, even when you don't say anything, Abba brings it forth anyways. So he did, and it was very humbling for me because, I mean, I've been writing since third grade or something. Mom probably knows. And, you know, this was the first time that Abba, like, it was a mission. Like, my writing was a mission. And before, you know, I've written a blog, or I've written in my journal, and he's, you know, spoken to me through those things. But this was the first time that it was like an assignment. And it was really humbling that he has given me this ability, and now was the time to put forth what he has been working in me all these years. So that was really, really, and then just throughout the whole trip, he, you know, there were certain places that we went where I really felt more of a moving than I did at others. And I think that really is just, I think that's why there were 17 of us, because everybody is different, and Abba uses everybody in different ways. And there was one really special one, but I'm going to leave that for that if it comes through the email. I'm not going to share that one today. But there was another one that I haven't written about, that I didn't even really find out about until talking with Dixie. And when we went to the 9/11 memorial site on Tuesday, when we got through all the security, and we got in there, and we all just split up and just walked around. I walked around by myself. I let Joey go by himself. I didn't stay with him this time. And I was walking, and I think I had just gotten past the South Tower, I think. I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. But anyways, I started off just kind of praying and walking. And before I knew it, I was singing a song, a Hebrew song, Hebrew words that I don't even know what they mean. I just know the song because it's on Carolyn Hyde's Latter Rain CD. And I listen to that all the time because it's the only CD I have in my car. And it's number 8 on her CD for any of those of you who have it. And it's... I'm going to say the title, and that's all I'm going to say because I don't want to, you know, butcher it. But Rahman, Rahim, I hope I said that right. But that was the song I started singing, and I knew it was her song, don't know what the words mean, never have known what the words mean. But I was just singing it. It's a very slow song. It's not anything too difficult to sing. And it wasn't really until we met back in the center, and Dixie said that, you know, she had... I'm not going to share too much of Dixie's thing, but just to wrap it all in, she said that she was having a hard time praying, much like the group in Washington. It was the same kind of story, but she said that she started singing 3 different songs. And when she said that, I kind of sat there and I was like, almost like an out-of-body experience. Like, it was kind of like, was I singing? I think I was singing too, you know. And anyway, so later on that night, Dixie and I were talking. She was giving me her info as the scribe. And when she said that, I just told her, I said, Dixie, I was singing too. And I told her what song I was singing, and I couldn't remember which number it was. And we talked about it, and she said, well, we really need to find out those lyrics. I said, okay. And that was pretty much the end of it. Well, Wednesday, on my way to work, no, Thursday, we didn't come back till Wednesday. Thursday, on my way to work, I remembered that I needed to look these lyrics up. So when I got to work, that was the first thing I did. After being off for 3 days, first thing I did was look up lyrics. So anyways, so those, and it's only about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 8 words in Hebrew is the whole song, and it just repeats itself. It's a very pretty song. But it means, now remember, I was singing this as I was walking around the 9/11 memorial site. It said, the translation is, merciful God, I beseech you to have mercy on all those who are in captivity. And that just, I mean, I immediately emailed Jan and Dixie, or Jan, because I couldn't find Dixie's email. And I just, I mean, I was amazed Thursday, and I'm still amazed now. I think I've cried every day this week, just something. It's just amazing how Abba moves and how he uses people whose hearts are willing. I think that's why it's so important for us not to be discouraged by what we saw, but to remember that There's still hope, and that while people might move slower than we think they should, we should still be a light, because we can still pray for all of them. You know, I'm a very positive person, but I think that everybody can be saved and know the Abba that we know.
Amen. Joey, then Caleb.
Well, first thing I'm going to share is, you know, when you have any kind of disease, at least the diseases that I know of, there is a central point. And then from that central point, like if it's on your body or something, there's other places where you see the side effects of it, but it still has that central point. Well, what I saw when we got to Washington was pretty much, I mean, we could have been in Greece and I wouldn't have even known it, you know, because, I mean, the architecture, the idols, everything, and they were putting this stuff in their front yard, okay? It's not like it was kind of scattered here, scattered there. It was everywhere. You go five blocks that way, you see a giant life-size statue of Zeus. You go five blocks this way, you see American war heroes surrounded by Greek statues. Okay, and I see that, and then we went to New York, and it was different for me. You see, you could walk and not notice the idols, okay? Because what I'm saying is you have to look for them to see them in New York. You have to look up on the buildings. You'll see them. Even, you know, some of them are in the streets like that bull, you know. But what I saw was Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States, being covered with idols. Central point of that disease. And then you go far, not too far, to New York, and you see the side effects. You see something here, something over there. You know, you come here to South Carolina. It's really hard to see it here, but you look for it and you'll find it. Okay? It's that's what I saw. I saw a disease of this adultery, this idolatry, and this just, you know, that's what I saw. And as you all know, I went to New York, and I believe Caleb went with me for the youth, to represent the youth, and get up to New York, and I really saw firsthand the pull on the youth that is. I mean, I saw, and the thing was, it wasn't just New Yorkers. It was people from all over the world. Even when we were getting on the ferry, there was some teenagers from like England or something, you know. And we just got to see, you know, the hold that the enemy has on the youth. And, you know, me being there, I even felt the pull to, hey, let's go over there to those people, and let's go, you know, hang out with them, you know, let's, you know, that's just how strong the pull is to this stuff, you know. And so that's what I saw, and I, you know, I just continue to pray for the youth that this hold will be broken. That, you know, and I pray that I'm a light, to the youth, that the youth will start to, instead of wearing things on their bodies of, you know, of pop stars and of skulls and idols and things on their body, that we'll begin to see, you know, scriptures. We'll begin to see things that are leading people to Yeshua. And I just I pray that Abba will use me for that to start happening. Because just seeing the things, you know, now don't get me wrong, I had a wonderful time in New York. Honestly, when we were leaving, I just had a good time there, you know. But the thing was, in the midst of all that, it took me to leave there and to look back on it to really see the things that he was showing me. Because at the time. That, you know, it was happening, it was noticeable, but it wasn't, you know, in my face. And once I got home and I could actually meditate on it, it really started coming in, and Abba really showed me what he wanted to show me. And so, yeah, that's...
Caleb?
Well, the trip up there was pretty nice. It was a packed car. But we did have fun on the way up there, which helped pass the time. We talked about a lot, read some, and prayed. And when we got to New York, the GPS started freaking out and we couldn't find where we are. But eventually we did find out where we were supposed to be. And the whole time we were there, it was like you'd walk through and you'd see all these idols and all these statues, and I knew they were there. Never seen them before. But it was just amazing how much sin was actually in the city, even though we weren't in the heart of New York City. And I had a good time spending time with my other family from Gates of Zion. We did have a lot of funny moments and times, and the trip back was pretty good too. There wasn't much in the way of traffic on the roads except when you went through major cities, but it was fun. I'm really glad I went.
Thank you.
Don't get nervous.
Trish. How did I overlook Trish?
I'm going to spare him. I'm not going to give him all this right now. Come on. After you talk, I'll probably mark another passage.
I wanted to read a couple of scriptures. The first one's Jude. And it happened, it's one of the first memory verses I learned. But it's, be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. And this morning, we were reading over the Torah portion. I was kind of trying to show Anna about the seventh year and how it correlates with the seventh day of the week. And then also the 7,000 year. And while I was doing that, I wrote it out on the paper and everything, and she said, it's kind of like a clock, you know, like time, and the alarm clock's going off, you know, like since the beginning of time, and now the alarm clock's coming off. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. And so that's why she's here. But it was just awesome how she was saying it. But it's time to wake up. We know now that 9/11 was the alarm clock going off. We know. We need to wake up, and we need to proclaim his word. And when I was showing her, I was trying to get her to read Revelation about the 1,000 years, and it says, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for testifying about Yeshua and proclaiming the word of God. And I want to be that. And I know all of you want to be that. We all have a voice. You know, we are that voice crying out. And I just think now is the time. We know this message. God didn't give us this message to go bury it. Amen. You know what I mean? Amen. We need to go out and proclaim the word of God and Yeshua. Amen. And that's it. And I don't know what else I want to say, but here you go.
Well, I can tell you, all those folks who've come up so far could stand up here for hours, because we shared during those couple of days together, and believe me, some of the things they shared, some of the things that the Father revealed to them, we are going to send something out more detailed on a ZNN that will have a lot more details of things that happen. But bottom line is this, New York, as we know, is not the only place. It's the United States of America. And as Joey so aptly described, yeah, we have that hub. We have Washington. That's where it is, but it has gone out through all of the United States. So it's not just New York. But the Father did take us there, and what we saw as we walked out, we were able to walk out exactly as it was outlined in the Harbinger. And those who have not read the Harbinger, read it. We walked it out. We started that federal building where the inauguration took place with Washington. We walked all the way down to that chapel, stopping first at Trinity Church, where they have the sculpture of the sycamore tree that's been made into a bronze sculpture. It's just this weird, strange-looking thing, this whole root system that they have put in bronze and put it on display. You know, it's interesting why they did that. Then we proceeded on to St. John, is it St. Paul's Chapel? And that's where Washington, President Washington, went in and consecrated this country under God. And in that chapel, you stand there, and above the Ten Commandments, they have Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh written in the sunburst. And then above that is Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh again. And the Father allowed us to just individually stand up, individually scattered throughout that chapel, but unified, quietly to ourselves, we said the Shema, facing towards the east. And then we also facing toward the east, because, you know, in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, it says, when Solomon was dedicating the temple, he said, whenever they look towards this house, for you establish your presence, and they ask and pray, forgive. So we also prayed and asked for forgiveness for the sin of this country, for what we have done and what we have allowed to happen. So we repented there. We finished that whole journey that day, and we had gotten tickets to go to the Ground Zero Memorial, but something really put on our heart. We were to continue on our journey and go to Ellis Island on Monday. So we did. We got on the ferry, and we went to Ellis Island. And you know, the scripture the Father has given the ministry, one of the many scriptures was in Isaiah 57, and it says, keep building, clear the way, remove everything blocking my people's path. And the Father put on our heart, as we had this prayer of intercession, repenting for the sins of our generation, all these pagan things that we see, man has put there. We're the ones who stand guilty. And you know, when we were in Israel one time, Ariel went up to the Temple Mount, and we were all walking around, and he said, that mosque sits there because of my sin. We've got to understand, these things that are happening in this country is because of our sin. So we repented, asked the Father to forgive our sins, to have mercy. We prayed for our leadership. And we continued on to Ellis Island. And I tell you, walking there, and looking at the faces of those people that they have on the, in that building, to know that as those people came into this country, that we were to go to that gateway and we were to pray for forgiveness. We were to ask the Father to remove these obstacles and open that gateway so we can leave. The gateway is going to open one day soon. And one of the major obstacles is sin. We've got to repent. We've got to teshuva. He said, return to me, I'll return to you. And so he was doing that. We're not the only ones. But let me tell you, we know we left on February the 12th, which was President Lincoln's birthday. That's the day we left. We found that very, very interesting. The Father would allow us to do that. That was a day that was supposed to have been effective in New York City, where they were not going to allow any churches to meet in any public schools. Supposed to have been effective that day. And that's the day the Father took us. And you know, President Lincoln is the one who did the unification of the North and South. Isn't the Father good that he would have us go in on that day? When Craig and I went by plane, we landed in Washington to have to change planes. And we shared this with y'all before, how the Father is an Elohim of order. You go through the leadership. Our Father is an Elohim of order. He had us stop there. And that plane, before we could deboard, we looked facing the Washington Monument, Lincoln Memorial, and the Capitol. And we were sitting there for about 15 minutes or so, and we just prayed and prayed. When we got on the plane to leave, they backed out, they turned the plane around, and they faced us again looking at those same three buildings. And they had to wait because of all the traffic in New York before we could take off. We had a lot of time to pray and intercede and ask the Father's mercy on this country. You know, when we were coming back on from Ellis Island on that ferry, I felt we had removed obstacles. I felt in my spirit something profound had taken place. And let me tell you, if one woman can have prayer taken out of school, please don't discount what we can do in the spiritual realm. We know we're not alone, but let me tell you, don't discount what you as an individual can do. You've got far more authority and power than you think. And it's time we rose up and we exercised it. Amen. And then when we went to the next well, the Father allowed us to be at a hotel where there wasn't even a meeting area. There was nowhere to gather. That's why we always went out of the building and went to Soup Man, who had a nice place to meet. We'd had good soup and refreshments and could gather there. But Craig and I went out and looked for a place for us to gather on Tuesday morning to have a debriefing. That day was going to be a day that we were going to just go to the 9/11 memorial, but we wanted to get together and talk and share because we'd had a full day on that Monday. And Craig had seen this hotel right across from Soup Man. Everything was right there. And we went in there, and they wanted to charge all this, a lot of money, but we ended up getting it for a fraction for a couple hours. We go upstairs to this library, which was really wonderful, and we sit down, and we had some powerful sharing, and our scribe did an excellent job. She documented all that, and these are some things we're going to be able to get out to you of individual things that took place. It was powerful, those 2 hours, I can tell you that. Boy, what the Spirit showed. What they shared today isn't even a fraction of what was shared in that room. So as we sat there, someone spoke, and I don't even know which one it was, and looked over, and the bookcases everywhere, and they saw this book sitting there, and they said, look, that book says exile, and it was upside down. And then someone said, well, what book is sitting on top of that? So Joey goes over there and picks it up, and it was The Templar Legacy, was sitting on top of the exile that was upside down. When some of the ones had to go to the restroom in this library, you go through this doorway, and they came back and said, you're not going to believe what's hanging on the wall. This huge picture with these ovals cut out of all these high-ranking masons. Tremendous number of them. As we were getting ready to leave the hotel, some of them had gone downstairs in the lobby, and there was a picture. And it showed these men sitting in these chairs, and in the very center was the high priest of the Masons, who had on the turban, the whole high priest garb, and an ephod around his neck. So we thought, okay, Father, why did you take us here? You know, one of the things that at the federal building, the first place we'd gone where the inauguration had taken place on that property, they had this sign there, and they were showing all these money bags and everything, and it had a statement that they made that the New Yorkers were delighted by the custom house because of its temple-like form, symbolic of the city's worship of money. So one thing the Father revealed, one major stronghold, which we already know is a worship of money. That's why the World Trade Center got hit. But then he also showed us another great stronghold, Freemasonry, the Templars, and everything that goes through that. Why did we get in that one building? I mean, of all the places we could have been. So he began to show us a connection here for us to understand the major stronghold. In the federal building we went there, they always had the Bible on display that Washington used during his inauguration. But the gentleman who was showing us around said, "I am so sorry, but the Masons came and took it back. They're the ones who have possession of it." So the Masons had come and taken the Bible back. We're seeing so much that the Father is showing us. Is judgment coming? Yeah, we believe so. Can we impact some of the things that happened? You know, in Isaiah, it says, Yahweh Elohim says, "He who gathers Israel's exiles, there are yet others I will gather besides those gathered already." Amen. He's gathering. It ain't over with yet. And we know a lot's going to happen. When we got back, we got this notification. I think Deborah called and told me that she'd heard on the radio that the rule to have the churches not meet in the public schools in New York had been stayed for 10 days. They're looking at it again. Now, did we impact that? I'm sure our prayers, along with multitudes of others, yes, we did stay it. Father is doing something, and we have got to grab hold of this. It's not just about New Yorkers being sinful people. It's about United States of America. It's about all of us getting on our knees and on our face. He's doing something. And you know, when we gather, the first place we gathered there at the federal building and stood there under this column, and everybody says, "Look at that. It was the gateway of America." The Father has taken us to the gateways in Israel for 5 years. He's now taken us to the gateway in America. I'm telling y'all, something is getting ready to happen. And yes, judgment is going to come. And one last thing I want to share. There is so much. But when we went to the 9/11 memorial, oh my word. I cannot believe that they would have ever come up with that kind of a memorial. It's a property with the two footprints of the buildings, and each of the footprints is a fountain. And it's only about this high. And you can look over and stand and look at the whole square footprint. And the waters come rolling down the sides of the square footprint. And then in the very middle of the footprint is another square cut out that the water cascades down, goes this way, and falls over into the abyss. You cannot see the end of it. All you do is see this huge square that's in the middle of this fountain, and this water is going over. And Claudia so aptly shared when she was looking at it, the water coming off looked like people as they were trying to grab hold and move back. But it's like they got swept away, and they go right over the edge into this abyss. No fountain going up looking towards the Almighty. Nothing with any kind of joy or any life. It's the water goes into this abyss. It is such a picture. They don't even know what they're doing. It is a picture of why that judgment even came there. So, y'all, there is just, we are so very proud in a humble way of those who went and those who stayed behind. because there was so much intercession, the fasting that went on before we left. We felt it. We had favor. But one thing that we did come away with, all of us, I do believe, is a love for humanity. We cannot group New Yorkers in a group. We cannot group anybody in a group. We found that in Israel when we went over to Jordan. God's people are everywhere. And when we went to David Wilkerson's church, I'm telling you, we had wanted to go, but we had not planned it. Father opened that doorway, and it was a seal. The teaching, and we're going to download that and hopefully be able to even maybe play it for Rosh Kodesh this week. We're not sure. We want y'all to see it. The teaching was right on about what we were about. It was such a seal. They had communion. It's like the Father brought us into this place and said, I'm putting my stamp on it now. It was awesome. It was encouraging, and that place was packed out. There are a lot of good people. He's got his people everywhere. Don't think they're not in New York. They're in every country in this whole world. He's got his people. So we saw something, and it does humble you to know that you're one. Let me tell you, we don't have the handle on everything. There are God's people everywhere, and they're paying a price to be where they are. But they have faith, and they're walking with a lot of faith in him to be there. Okay, Craig.
The only thing that I'll end up with is that, you know, as we went, we didn't know what the Father was going to show us. We were going to go and be faithful to that. Now, we're not putting any expectations on it. We're not saying God's got to do this, or God's going to do this with it, or this is going to happen because of what we did. We're not going to do that. We can't do that. There's no expectations that we can put on what we did and what you did. What it is that it's God's. Let him do with it what he desires to do with it. If it can bring one person to know him, it was worth it. And we've got several situations where one person was talked to that it might have been just for that one person. We said if we came up here just for that person, it was worth it. Okay? So this is why we are just thankful that we were privileged to go on this journey, to be part of this call. And as Trish says, we are not just to say, oh, check it off, that's it. No, no, no. It is not. It is beginning. We're just beginning. And we got to keep going forward. Because, again, when we made a move, the enemy saw that move. And that's when, a lot of things can come out and have. But we praise the Father. He is faithful. We are going to carry on. Thank everybody for all your prayers, your intercession, everything that was lifted up during this time. It's amazing that two and a half, three weeks ago wasn't even talked about here. Last Sunday we head up to New York. And then now, right, it seems like it was months ago almost. It's amazing. Almost seems like it was months ago. But we know the Father is faithful, and he will bring about. Ezekiel 38 and 39. We stay on 37 all the time. But Ezekiel 38 and 39. And those are wars. And that comes after there is a coming together of God's people. And this is what we're seeing. We know God's people are coming together. But we also know what's going on all around us. But again, where we are covered. If we are where he wants us to be. Thank you for that, Barry. That just totally, doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what falls around about you. If you are where he wants you to be, you're going to be still standing. And then he's going to move you out to where he wants you to be then. Okay? Thank you, everybody. Joe, you want to come up and we'll pray for interceding for others. And then we'll circle the chairs very briefly.
Hallelujah. We'll see what happens. But, sometimes we look at these things and you just wonder. Because it does seem, in some ways, it seems like it's written in stone that nothing can change. And you know, I think of you know, Jonah going down to Nineveh. I get tickled with him because he didn't want to go, because he felt like, if, you know, he knew if he went they'd repent. And I don't know whether you understand what Nineveh was, but Nineveh was a part of Assyria. And Assyria was going to be used by Yahweh to come down and take captive the northern house. But yet even in that, we see the mercy of Yahweh to come to Nineveh. And you know, I think the thing we need to hear is that it didn't prevent the judgment. What did it do? It delayed it. It delayed it. Because in time, it came. And there are things, you know, our nation stands for that, I mean, there's nothing that went on in Sodom and Gomorrah is not happening in our nation. It's the mercy of Yahweh that we haven't had worse than what we've had. But here's the deal. And this is the thing I think we've got to keep in our heart and mind, that this restoration, Ephraim is here in this nation. Judah is here in this nation. And what did Rav Shul tell us to do in Timothy? He said, pray for those that are in positions of leadership, power, you know, that sort of thing, that there would be shalom. You know, it's easier. It's not that we just want to pray so we don't have to deal with it. That's not what we're talking about. But Yahweh has an agenda. And it's going to be a lot easier to gather up what he's trying to do in this hour that's going to bring back the return of our Yeshua when there's shalom. So the point is that the trip wasn't wasted to New York. And it is in bad situation. And for goodness sakes, even passing through Washington, and we know that's got to have a ton of spirits running around in that place, you know, in the heavens. But the point is that we can hold Yahweh's word, and mercy does what? Triumphs over judgment. Okay? It's coming. No doubt. But the point is, We need to stand in the gap and make up the hedge to hold back that left hand so that what Yahweh is getting ready to do in opening the gates for the return can happen. Hallelujah. Amen? So, anyway, we do appreciate everybody that's had something to share, and Dixie's going to be sharing later, I'm sure, and, you know, all of that. So, you know, Baruch Hashem, that he would choose this little body of people in, of all places, South Carolina, to go and walk with Yahweh, with the Ruach, there in Washington, too, but also New York. And I told Craig when we were talking after he got back, and Thursday gave me a call, I said, you know what? I said, it's almost like what I'm getting as you're talking. It's almost, you know, you're driving down the road. Have you ever had this happen? A little rock or pebble sling up and pop the windshield. And you're like, ow. And you're driving along and you don't think much about it. And then you come out the next morning. And then it's like a couple of days later, it's. Well, you know, that's what I was getting in the spirit. That going and doing what we did may seem like that little pebble and not much effect, but it only takes that little crack begin to happen. And the point is, we were faithful to do what Yahweh said. The results belong to him. Okay? Because if results is how we measure stuff, there's some guys that we read about in the scriptures that were complete failures. Noah was a failure. He preached for 120 years. And it was all said and done, 8 people got out. Wow, he was, you know, what is that? But that's not the point. He was faithful to do what Yahweh called him to do. And that's what we've got to be. The results are up to him. But you know what? Maybe that lady that you guys saw in the restaurant that perked up when you guys came in, maybe she might be one. Maybe. Who knows what the effect is? Don't worry about that. We did what we were supposed to do, and Yahweh's faithful, and he is true. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's, any needs, any things that we need to cover in prayer, we want to do that. If you have those, please let's stand. We'll take these before Yahweh.